Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloved ones, and welcome to the Holistic Ministry Show. I am Minister James Browning, and I'm broadcasting live this morning from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, like summer have arrived in Phoenix. We are in the 90s, heading towards the 100s, as all you who may have experienced Phoenix and know about the weather here. We are getting prepared to go into the higher temperatures now, so this is another frontier here in the Phoenix area. But anyway, we're loving it, we're blessful, and we're grateful. It's a marvelous, beautiful day this morning, and the energy is very high, and so I'm grateful. And most of all, I thank you for coming and being here today. So I'm just happy. Now, for all of my Christian listeners, happy Easter to you, or happy Resurrection Day, whichever way you want to put it. To all my Jewish listeners, happy Passover to you. And if there's any of the religions or spiritual groups that I missed and there's something special going on, happy holiday to you too. Well, it's a holiday because you're alive. Just be happy for life this morning. That's a beautiful thing to be happy about. Just be happy that you're alive and that you're well. As many of you are aware, you know, this is a metaphysical ministry. So we have listeners from all different spiritual and religious backgrounds. So, you know, I want to be able to include everyone. We are a worldwide ministry. We're in 5 countries, as well as all of the United States. And we have listeners of all backgrounds, you know, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Christians, you know, all the groups. A lot of people just tune in because they want to hear the truth. They want to hear a spiritual message. And that's what this ministry is based on. Is spirituality. That means that we do not operate in a box, beloved ones. We're out of the box. I may talk one Sunday about things happening in Hindu, and next day I may be talking about Elijah, or talking about something dealing with in the Muslim faith, or something dealing with Buddha. You know, it all depends on what spirit has me to talk about this day. So I embrace all spiritual religions that believe in God. Okay, I embrace them all because they all have a purpose for that. So again, I welcome back all of my old listeners, because you guys who keep me motivated, keep me pumped up, and I'm so excited. Sunday morning when I turn on the set and turn into my studio, I see you popping up, and the day is one of these days that seems like the studio is being a lot of people listening this morning. So now, you know, if there ever come a time, especially if you're listening by phone, that you may get kicked out if so many people plug in. So you have to call back in if you get kicked out, or you can go to the internet and just go in blogtalkradio.com/The Holistic Ministry, and you'll be able to get back on, or either just do the short link that I send many of you to, okay? So don't let yourself get short out. We have a lot of people want to come in this morning and participate in this special service, this special message. So, and any of you who are, and all my new listeners who tuned in today, I am grateful for you as well. So if you have an open mind and your spiritual antenna is up this morning, you're in the right place. We are really excited. We have a really exciting show today. The topic may be a little controversial for some of you, but that's okay. We're gonna make it through. But most of my previous listeners know how I roll, and you know how I present what I need to do. But for some of you very new listeners, this may be a little shock for you. But keep your mind open. Keep your hearts open and stay centered, and all will be well. Today's topic is one that I feel is really a necessity for us to talk about, and it's a necessity for us to be part of. Now, all of you who have been around for a while know that I always open my show with a prayer. Today is no different. I'm grateful for that. And also, with the holiday, I like to give honor and thanks to Reverend Martin Luther King. Today was over 40 some years of his demise, when he made his transformation, made his exit from the planet. We thank Martin for all that he did, all that he brought into the earth realm. And Martin was definitely a special being, very special. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes these avatars and people who are highly spiritual, they have to leave in order for their message to be really strong. And Martin is one of them. Martin's message is going on today, and it's being good. So we say thank you, Martin, for coming this way. Thank you for bringing your message. So, like I said earlier, all of you who know me know that we open with a prayer. We're going to open a prayer, then we're going to get right into today's message because I have a lot of content to cover this morning. So we want to get started, okay? All right, let's do prayer. Father, Mother God, we give gratitude and thanks for another wonderful day. We thank you, God, for all that you have allowed to show up in our lives this week. We thank you for all that's continually coming our way. And most of all, we give pure gratitude for life, God. We thank you for life, and we thank you for divine health in our physical bodies. We thank you for divine relationships for all those who are we're connected to. We thank you, God, for spiritual connection, to be connected with you, God. We are so grateful for you, and we give special blessings and thanks for beloved Jesus Christ, who has been here on planet Earth and has come to help us and assist us and still assisting from the higher realm. Thank you, beloved Christ. Thank you for all that you do and all that you are bringing into this earth realm. Even today, we open our hearts and minds and give all glory to you for your mission and your purpose, for you really allowed us to be able to grow and to expand our awareness and consciousness. So we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I call upon all my spiritual helpers this morning, all of my ascended masters who help me every week that I come in and do this show. Please come in. You're welcome. All my guardian angels come forth and assist and help to bring this message. And I call upon the I Am presence that is within each one of us to collectively come together so that we may obtain and hear the word of spirit and what it is to be for us to be today, what the message is today. Open us up so we can hear and we can become doers of the words instead of just hearers of the words. We will take from this message that which we need to be able to raise our lives and be able to move to a higher state of consciousness. I must always give prayer and thanks for my beloved frontline workers who are helping out there with the pandemic and doing all they need to do to help keep us safe and keep us well. We pray for all the doctors who put their own personal lives on the line to make sure that we are well and taken care of. Thank you, God, for touching those special angels, special beings for being there and giving assistance. We give prayer and gratitude for our new government. We pray and thankful that we have a new opportunity to get it right here in America and in the world. So we say thank you, God, for helping us to transcend that event. So we thank you, God, that you will continue to bless all of our government leaders, put them their right thoughts in their right mind so they can do to be able to serve and help the masses of people. We are so grateful for that. So we say thank you, thank you, thank you, and so it is. Well, beloved, let's get along. Let's get on with today's show, which I'm excited about. It is quite interesting. It's what organized religion didn't tell you about Easter. You know, the things they didn't tell you are even more important than the things that they did tell you about Easter, okay? It was a little challenging for me to select the topic for this show because I wanted to, you know, maybe say something about the resurrection, and I will, but I'm just finding a appropriate topic for today's message because it's the message that definitely needs to be well put into action. So please understand that we are moving forward here in a new realm and a new spiritual understanding of this thing called the resurrection. And I understand, you know, that, and please understand for a fact that I am not knocking any other religion. I am not putting down any other religion, okay? I mean, all religions have a purpose and a reasoning for existence. So I respect them all. But there's people are at different spiritual levels and different understanding. So Even some of the ministers or reverends who know more, they don't always speak what they know. Even some of those who are in the organized structure in the organized church, they know some truths, but they are not allowed to express it because of the structure of the organization from which they are part of. They have to stay within those traditions and teach and speak based on what their organization allowed them to be able to go. I mean, they can, some of them definitely step out of the box and do something a little different, but overall, they sort of conform and say what is, you know, expected of them according to the mission of their structured organization. We here are quite different. This is a new age and metaphysical minister. So we go places where traditional churches do not touch. Definitely. We go places where you're not going to be able to go here in your everyday Sunday church, traditional church. We are talking about things that are totally out of the box, that as we perceive it to be. You know, no one has any hold on the truth, but we are able to be part of what it is that we're experiencing based on our spiritual growth and where we are. Teaching of beloved Jesus is a spiritual idea which most people follow. Even the traditional church follows. Jesus is the reason for them having their message. And so I always wonder, though, why is it that the traditional church did not follow the ministry that Jesus followed? Jesus was an Essene. Jesus' father came from the Essene religion. You know, there's some people who think that Jesus was a Christian, and they believe that that's what Jesus worshiped, being a Christian. No, Jesus was not a Christian. There wasn't even something even thought about Christianity when Jesus was born. So he followed a total different religion called the Essene religion, which was a breakoff from the Jewish religion. They were taught and they followed metaphysical principles. So if Jesus was here and attending his religion as he were back then, he would be more on tune to what we're speaking about and the metaphysics understanding of spirituality. That's what the Essene does. Matter of fact, the Essene religion is still operating in certain parts of the world. And so it is not gone. It has not disappeared. It is still part of the set of Essene members who are still there. And they are pretty powerful, too. Today's subject is one that the especially traditional church, in a way, they take it up, but they don't go into the deeper parts of it. And we want to sort of explore this whole thing about Easter and what does it mean and the resurrection of what it means and what it's all about. Either the minister there know the truth and won't speak it, or they're afraid to speak the truth based on what they know. And that's okay. We'll just let it go as it goes. So let's get ready to really get it dive into this Easter message. The Easter celebration is a combination of pagan and Christian celebration all wrapped up in one. Okay, let me just repeat that to you. The Easter celebration is a combination of a pagan and Christian celebration all wrapped up in one. Okay? Many of you have no idea of the word pagan, and you don't even know what it actually means. But most of my metaphysical students, metaphysical people understand, have a clear understanding of what that is. The pagan means an abundance of preconceived and stereotypes, which mean to be a pagan. That's what pagans were. But people, a lot of, have a preconception and a stereo idea of what paganism is. Okay, and we're not going to get deep into paganism today. That's not where we're going. But I just want you to have some understanding about that. Okay, we're going to have that. Paganism is based on men's understanding about the Creator based on their perception. You see, back then they, you know, they worshiped the sun, they worshiped different idols, they worshiped different gods, and I'm not putting down the pagans neither, because I don't know what they did and what they were representing, but I do know that paganism was definitely something prior to Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. As a matter of fact, people who and in the religious organized structure says that paganism is considered to be heathens. I don't know how they judge that, but, you know, that's what they said when they have no idea of what those people actually believed and what they was all about. I totally do not believe that to be true, okay? I don't know all the teachings of the pagan way, but I don't believe that, you know, God was still around way before Christianity, Islam, and Judaism showed up, you know. Matter of fact, Hindu was around longer than all of those religions, okay? So we cannot judge. Paganism itself was started this celebration thousands of years ago, and actually it was called the Spring Festival. That's what the pagans called it, the Spring Festival. So they celebrated the god of fertility. And let me make this very clear to you, beloved ones. They had a heavy, enthroned idea about sexuality, okay? Because they were celebrating fertility. This is how the bunny rabbit, the eggs, got into the celebration, because of the pagan idea of fertility. That's what they were, that's what the Spring Festival was all about. See, Christianity entwined itself into the celebration back in year 325 AD. It was authorized by the Emperor Constantine. You see, the Emperor Constantine himself, who were a new Christian back in 3010, he became aware and became more of a convert of Christianity. But still, he had all these other people who were there that he had to please as well. See, so the Christians wanted to be able to bring more of Jesus' teaching into the world. So Constantine had to compromise in order to be able to do this, because the pagans were strong at that time. So the Easter itself was more officially made into a Christian church by the Council of Nicaea. They were made official. That's a special group of people who got together that was able to put the Bible together, principles of Christianity together, and to be able to do everything they do. And so some of the things that was, there were some things that was there that got taken out, and there were some things that got added in. And this Easter is one of the things that got added in, because they wanted to really talk about the foundation of Christianity, which was the resurrection. So that's how that got brought into that service, into that message, okay? Now, Easter itself was always celebrated the first moon after East spring equinox. That is when Easter was supposed to be celebrated. And I guess I haven't been following it very closely, but I guess that's why Easter keeps changing around. And then if it's still being followed under the same principle, the dates keep changing. The dates are not consistent, because it is based on the full moon and the spring equinox. Most of us never was exposed to that. Most of us had no idea what that was all about. In my opinion, that was a lot of that, when especially with dealing with the spring equinox and with the full moon, was based on astrology. And see, astrology had an effect on the whole aspect of what was happening previous Christian days. Astrology was a very, very strong fact. Matter of fact, astrology was part of the Christian teaching early before the council got together. The book of John 10:9-10 was pretty much based on principles of astrology. So that was things that were done, but it was taken out. And I think that's one of the reasons why you didn't hear them talk very much about Easter being aligned with the moon and the spring astronauts, because they didn't want to talk about the astrological things, okay? But it was there, okay? And I know for many years, many of us have wondered how in the heck did a bunny rabbit, Easter, and candy had to do with the resurrection of beloved Jesus. You can't tell me you have not had that thought. You can, if you're conscious and aware, you cannot tell me that you did not wonder how that all came together and why it all came together. It's almost like Christmas, Jesus' birth, and Santa Claus. We see, beloved ones, this is all part of the pagan ideology that had to share the holidays. And so that's how these things got put into these spiritual holidays, because of the pagans who were very strong at that point as well. Easter bunnies, candy, had nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection, okay? So, but then the capitalists of a part of the of society began to pick up the idea, and they made money on it. They realized that they could make money on this idea. You would be amazed the amount of billions of dollars that are sold every year based on candy and eggs and bunnies and those kind of things. So it's big business. That's what it has become for Easter for a lot of people. And, you know, I don't know if people do it so much now, but I remember when we were younger, we always had to have a new outfit to go to Easter church, whether you went to the early morning service or whatever. You had your new outfit, your new Sunday clothes on. And I think that probably a lot of people still follow that tradition, not as much as they used to back in the day, but people, a lot of people still follow that tradition, beloved one. Then, so we can see how it has been commercialized, and so it has nothing to do with what's going on with Jesus's resurrection. But like I said, the pagans had to be sanctified, so they had to be included into their consciousness. It had to be included into whatever the Christian was doing it, because Constantine had to compromise so he wouldn't have a rebellion among the pagans. Now, you see, beloved, you got to also understand, back in that time, Christianity itself was considered a cult. Okay? So it's amazing to me when I heard Christian folks calling other religions a cult. What are you talking about? You guys were considered a cult too, way before, you know, back in the day. Because you, anytime something new, something different starts, that is part of a cult. So you don't understand it, so you name it as a cult. And that's what the pagans were doing, and that's what the other people were doing. They were calling Christianity a cult, okay? So, like I said, the main part of the celebration was based on fertility. And for the spring festival, that was all it was based on. Matter of fact, some of the kings would have some of the young ladies to march through the town. All of the young virgins would march through the towns during that time. And at that time, the king would have his choice of picking who he wanted to connect with. And I'm sure you understand what I mean, who he wanted to connect with. And that was part of the pagan deal. And that's how they rolled. So that was how the pagans brought that into its play. Now, I see that the switchboard is really lighting up, beloved ones. So like I say, if you get kicked off, make sure you go back in. I mean, oh, my God, the switchboard is blowing up this morning. Okay, but anyway, let's get on with the day, and hoping you all can stay with me. So, we got an understanding of what paganism is and how they made their influence into the Easter holiday. Let's talk a little bit more about the Christians, what they brought to the celebration, which more of us are more familiar with, because majority of you, us, grew up in a organized, structured religion. We were kids, and That's what our parents exposed us to. And that's what we were exposed to, and that's how we grew up, and that's the message that we were attended to. We went to church, Sunday school, all that deal. So, hey, ain't no shame to the game. We all been through it, and we all grew from it. And that is where you got your growth. You started there. You got exposed to God through the traditional church. That's why I don't knock nothing, okay? I don't knock it at all. But the teachings of the organized religion about the actions of the resurrection and Jesus has not been totally told the whole truth. They've given you bits and parts of it, okay? But it had to also, you got to realize that when Christianity was being formalized, when it was being accepted in society, it was based on the rulers of those days. The rulers had great influence on what actually was put in the Bible, what was actually accepted in Christianity. The kings and the rulers, the emperors, all those beings that was in charge had implanted information in there because they did not in any way want to lose control. So they had to make sure that the part of Christianity that let them still maintain their control was still part of that belief system. Okay? Now, the most important part of the Christian story is based on the resurrection and how it is and how it was. It was a doctrine that was based on that. So we're going to explore a little bit about what that doctrine was based on those of the time who believed in that and how they allowed it to come. The resurrection of Christ is the doctrine of the Christianity. It is the key component of Christianity, beloved ones, okay? So understand that. It is based on the belief that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion, and although he had conquered death, all believers would consequently share in his victory over sin, death, and the devil. That was their belief. That is what Christianity believed then and believed today. That is how they roll with their belief system and what that is. And like I say, again, I'm not knocking anything. If that's what you choose to believe, you can choose as you so desire. I don't try to change anybody's idea about that. But let me just tell you a little bit more from a spiritual side of it. The resurrection story is a little bit different. The majority of metaphysical and New Thought churches, quite different. And I am part of a metaphysical church, so that would tell you that my thoughts and my ideas about this is totally different as well. Okay? So let me just tell you the difference of way the traditional kind of belief and way it is set up for metaphysical teachings. As the metaphysical minister, I have to bring it the way that I see it. And I embrace by all heart and most all metaphysical and spiritual people believe that Jesus Christ crucifixion took place. Okay? We are not in doubt with that. We have no doubt that that happened. Of course, there's some that said that the resurrection happened, but I would say the majority of people who believe and the metaphysical and New Age movement believe that that actually took place, man. And I'll explain a little bit more in reason why it took place, because it's a very significant part of what is to be shared with you today. First, let's sort of say something. Let me just share this with you first, because there's some things about the traditional thing that belief that we definitely do not believe. We believe that God is omnipotent, and there is no opposing force to God. You understand, beloved ones? God is omnipotent, and there is no opposing force to God. There is nothing that there's no evil entity, no devil, no Satan, none of that stuff that you have been taught to believe that is being opposed to God. That is absolutely something that came up And if you want to do the research on it, you can do the research on it. But that part was added into the teaching at a later date, okay? So, but that's also part of the control aspect. You see, that had to be there in order for the structured organization to be able to keep control of you and I. They had to have this entity, this dark energy that you need to surrender yourself to the church in order to be protected from this. Okay, so that's part of the control element, but it is what it is. So, but we focus our energy on God, the omnipotent, and we believe that God is all there is, and there is no dark forces that is causing us to sin. You see, human being, you see, beloved one, this thing called sin is another thing that has gotten people all thrown off track, okay? We like to prefer it as errors. People make errors in life. We make errors every day, and we make bad decisions every day, okay? And those decisions and those errors have to be paid for at some point. Everything you do and everything that you create has to be paid for at some level and some time, okay? So you have to be prepared when you make a decision and you make an error that you have to pay for it, or you have to do the forgiveness work so you won't have to go through that process of paying back karma. And, you know, it takes work to overcome karma. So we believe in certain things, but we don't believe in this thing called sins, because that's, you know, hey, it just don't happen. Finally, one of the big things about the death process, and that is where the big difference comes from. Most people metaphysically and spiritually believe death itself is the transformation. You see, we believe that the soul lives infinitely, forever. Your soul will go on forever. Regardless of how many times you come here to planet Earth, you're still going to have that same soul. You'll have a different body based on what you need as a spirit to be able to accomplish your mission or what you need to do. But once you do, what you step that body, you go, you change, you get another body, and you come back and do a different kind of thing. Okay? So there is no such thing as death, where some of the churches, they don't necessarily believe that you come back, but they believe that you make your death, and it's the final thing. You go to this place called hell where you burn up your soul, or you go to a place to heaven. And, beloved ones, that's a really a fantasy thought, okay? But, again, I respect those who believe that and feel that is their reality. And if you believe and feel that, that may be your reality. But no, your spirit does not go anywhere and become destroyed. You can't destroy God. God is the spirit in you, so you are living continuously. So nothing can destroy God itself. And so we have to have understanding of that aspect of what it is that we are doing. So to understand the true purpose for Jesus' demonstrations and teaching of the resurrection process, you must have the knowledge of what Jesus was taught, and what he was taught, and what Jesus was exposed to in order to get him to that level to be able to be part of this process of the resurrection. So let's take a little look at Jesus' travel and Jesus' time where Jesus spent. See, Jesus spent 85% of his life in Africa and in the Far East, places like Egypt, India, the Himalayas. Jesus and his grandmother, beloved one, is one of the key components of Jesus' life. Saint Anna, if you don't know about her, go do some research. Go do some research, and you'll understand why Jesus was who and how he was. The mother of Mary, who also came through Immaculate Conception, okay? She came in on the same light ray as Jesus came in. So now she's actually called Mother Mary. She is an ascended master, okay? She is an ascended master. But, see, his mom was special as well to be able to bring him into the earthly realm. But anyway, St. Anna and his father Joseph taught Jesus and guided his life. See, Jesus spent most of his studies and learning in the mystery schools. See, there were spiritual mystery schools set up all through Africa and all through the Middle East, all through the Himalayas. And some of us now who have reincarnated in this time were also there in the temples in Egypt doing work. I know of a very special friend of mine. She and I were definitely in Egypt, and we did some spiritual work together. And so once in a while, you recognize those spiritual beings that come back in your life, and you understand why they show up. But see, we all were there. But so Jesus, not meaning all were there in the temple, but we many of us have come out of that era and taken on a different body for this aspect. Jesus was taught by very wise teachers besides his grandmother and his father. There were spiritual abattoirs that were there in Egypt to teach, and those even came in from the spiritual realm to be able to teach him and to be able to give him information that he needed to fulfill his purpose. And through, they were helping him to prepare himself to fulfill his purpose. And Jesus also, when he left Egypt, he spent and went to the Himalayas and to India with himself and his grandmother and his father and some of the other family members. They traveled from Egypt into India. And that is where Jesus spent a lot of his days in the ashrams of a lot of the special yogis who were there at this time. And one of the most insightful and knowledgeable experiences Jesus had was the days he spent with Sai Baba. And if you don't know who Sai Baba is, you need to go do some research. Sai Baba was the real deal, okay? He was a very attuned, very enlightened yogi who was able to perform and do all kinds of miracles and all kinds of things. And they were there. And so Jesus spent about 2.5-3 years just being tutelage by Sai Baba. Okay? So you can, if you know about Sai Baba, then you can imagine the kind of information that Jesus was getting and to be able to bring forth. You see, beloved one, Jesus was taught at a young age to be able to leave his physical body and return at will. You see? So he was trained to do the resurrection way before the time to do the resurrection. Just like a lot of the other yogis and wise people, he wasn't the only one that could do that. There was a lot of yogis and a lot of spiritual beings that were able to lay their bodies down and up in the, especially in the Himalayas, in those caves in the Himalayas and in the spiritual ashram. They left their physical bodies and they went spiritual realm and went to school, went to classes, did whatever they needed to do, and when they wanted, they came back and picked up their physical bodies, okay? So this is not something that is really that foreign, beloved ones. I mean, for a lot of us, this is maybe new information because you were not aware of that, but this is information that has been around for a long time. They were preparing Jesus to make the resurrection, to be able to fulfill the purpose of which he came here and what his teaching was all about. And believe me, beloved ones, Jesus was the real deal. And I'm here to tell you, he was the real deal. I kind of think about Jesus, I think, and if you're going to use characters of in our time, Jesus was a combination between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X in a lot of ways, you see, because Jesus was not as passive as some thought that he was. Jesus was compassionate, though, very, very compassionate and very loving and such a great energy to be around. But Jesus didn't fool around, beloved ones. Jesus was very, you hear what I say? Jesus was militant in the standpoint that he stood up for the truth. He did not back down from the powers to be, regardless of who they were. the Roman rulers who were ruling Jerusalem at that particular time. Jesus stood up to them, and that's why part of what got him in the situation that he is, but that was all in divine order as well. You see, Jesus, even the Jewish leaders of that time, who were mostly the spiritual people that operated in the temples and in the synagogues, Jesus would not tolerate any foolishness. And when Jesus found them being corrupt and doing things that they should not be, he gave them a lesson of a lifetime. I mean, he put them out, and he didn't just put them out, he whipped them out, okay? So say, you are not coming up in the house of God and play around and misuse and steal and corrupt from the people. He didn't tolerate that. So Jesus was very loving and kind, but Jesus was very strong. He was the real deal. He didn't take any foolishness. And so, you know, you can be spiritually uplifted and spiritually constantly. Doesn't mean that you have to take a whole bunch of foolishness from folks either, even in this day and time. So Jesus stood up for right, and he believed in what was right, and he would not allow himself to be compromised in any way. See, Jesus was going, at this time, Jesus was going about doing his ministry work, and he was making sure that he was doing what he needed to do. Jesus did a lot of spiritual work with healing, raising the dead, and doing all kinds of process in his process. But in the process of doing that, he made sure it was doing. You didn't come around Jesus with foolishness, okay? He didn't tolerate it, okay, beloved one? So don't get that this thought out of your mind about this Jesus that was so, that believed in turning the cheek all the time. No, Jesus was powerful, strong, and thank God that he came this way, because he was the real deal. I can't say that too much. It's really necessary for us to have a full understanding of Jesus and who he was and what he was in order to be able to understand Jesus' real purpose. And Jesus' real purpose, a lot of people saying that, hey, you know, and doing the tradition, Jesus came, he died for our sins so we can be sinful as we want to be, because Jesus died for our sins, and so we don't have to deal with it no more. We just put it all on the back of Jesus. No, beloved one. You still have to be responsible for your errors. You have to be responsible for what you do. And so don't assume that Jesus came to take your burdens away so you could cut a fool. No, that was not what was happening. And so Jesus had gone through his process of teaching and healing and bringing about all kinds of teaching for people all through the whole Israel and whole area, and that he taught and developed his disciples and all the people that followed him. But even at that time, there was no church called Christianity. They were still operating in the Essene religion. That was the religion that Jesus was doing all of his teaching, healing, and all the things that he did from a spiritual aspect was brought out of the Essene religion doctrine and teaching. Okay? So have a full understanding of that, beloved one, that Jesus was an Essene, and that's how he taught. And those, the miracles and everything he did and through his teaching was done through the Essene religion. Okay, now, of course, now Jesus is now at the point where he is ready to fulfill his true earthly purpose. And there was a lot of events that happened. Well, we're not going to go into all the events that happened to set that up. But a lot of things happened. A lot of people played parts in allowing that to come about and allowing that to be ready to do. And so there was a lot of spiritual contracts made even before Jesus came here of these spiritual beings who would show up at this time to help affiliate what it is that he had to do. And see, Jesus' beloved grandmother and his mother and everyone was well aware of what Jesus had to go through. They were not that pleased that he had to do it, and they were not. They did suffer some sadness knowing that he would going to be leaving soon. And so, but they prepared themselves to be able to address his issues. Matter of fact, they prepared special kind of salve and special kind of dressings and everything to be able to take care of his physical body while it was laying wherever it needed to be. Jesus' spirit was not there. His physical body was there. So they went to secure his physical to make sure that it stayed intact and everything was done properly. His grandmother, Anna, and his mother and all the other beings who overlook him were there to be able to make sure that his physical body stayed intact until he decided to come back. I don't know if he was required to come back in 3 days or whenever, but whenever he showed back, they wanted to make sure that there was no issue with his physical body, and he did that. You see, beloved ones, then the true deal about the resurrection, here's the truth about the resurrection. The resurrection was to demonstrate two things, and one of them was the power of forgiveness. Okay, when Jesus was on the cross and when the Roman soldiers had put the spear in his ribs and he was bleeding out and there were two other people on that was next to him that was also being crucified along with the soldiers, Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know what they not do. Forgive them." And at that very moment, Jesus was saying he was teaching the power of forgiveness that we all need to have. Beloved one, can you think about situation that you are holding on to pain and suffering with people on the forgiveness level, and, you know, it's just because somebody said something wrong, somebody maybe took something from you, and somebody offended you in some kind of way, and you have not forgiven them for years. Many of us have gone through relationships for years just because of something harsh that someone had did to them. Even myself, I've had experience myself where I had to do some forgiveness work on a family member not too long ago. And I had to do it and because it was necessary to free me. If they didn't want to be free, I had to free my own self from anything that I was feeling that was not within myself, that was not being perfected. And see, forgiveness not only comes from helping to release the other person, but releasing you, and mostly about releasing you when you do forgiveness work. When you forgive other people, it really is not about them. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get a chance to speak with the person that I had to do the forgiveness work. But I left them a message. I told them what I felt. I gave them an opportunity to return the call if they so desired to do that. They didn't. That's okay. But I had to release myself for them because I felt connected to them because of that event that was happening and that event that had happened. That I had to free myself from that and to let them go. Even they don't even realize it, but I released them as well. And maybe one day they'll wake up and understand the truth about that particular situation. But that was one of the things that Jesus was bringing forth when he went doing the crucifixion and doing his whole aspect. That was a part that before he even left. Now, the actual resurrection itself, beloved ones, you see, Jesus wanted to teach us that this process that they call death, what we know it is just an illusion. Death is just an illusion, beloved ones. Do not release yourself from this idea and fear from this idea of death. Death has so many people in fear. It's really, you talk to people. People are afraid of dying. They are afraid of death, and it petrifies a lot of people. And they operate their lives based on the fear of death, which is nothing but an illusion. And because there's no such thing as death anyway, it's actually a transformation. But we've been taught and believe that this thing called death is a final process and that you are all that you will ever be is based on what you are here in your human life. And that is so far from the truth. So Jesus' main purpose to demonstrate the fact that death had no sting. This thing called death had no sting. And that what Jesus was demonstrating to us. That is why he allowed his physical body to come to the state where it is. And then he showed up 3 days later to say, hey, you see this thing they call death is just an illusion. And beloved ones, once you understand and once you buy into the idea that death is just an illusion, it frees you up to live your life because you have nothing to be afraid of. Yes, you may not do things perfect. You may not be perfect. That's okay. But have no fear of this so-called thing called death. It's something that, and I'm not saying that some people believe that you don't have to do it at all. And I don't, and I'm not going to say they're true or whatever. But when you decide to leave this planet, you are going to go to wherever spirits need to go for their rest and their energy to regroup, to come back, to do what you need to do in your next life, if you have to do that. Key is to make an ascension. Make your ascension so you don't have to come back and do this process again. You see, beloved one, you have a choice. If you are willing to raise your vibration to the point and live your life at this level and be connected to the God force inside of you and be able to understand that your overall objection is to become one with the Godhead, one with the God force, and that you're working on your ascension right this very moment. And that should be your priority. You may have to come back. And one thing about it, even if you ascend and you go through your ascension, if you choose to come back to be able to help and to help other souls on the path, that's your choice. But you have a choice whether you want to come back and go through this this earth school all over again. For some of us, it's not a very pleasant thing to come and deal in this three-dimensional slow pace of things. Thank God that we are constantly moving into the fifth dimension of consciousness and awareness. So even if you decide to stay here on the earth rim for a while, you can operate at a totally different level as well. Okay? But your overall objective, beloved one, is to be able to ascend and be able to move into the God realm, to where you will become connected to God as your source and be there at the foot of God in that whole realm of what you need to do and do your spiritual work from the other realm of your ascension. Okay? And that's what Jesus came to teach you. That is what the mystery is, where the traditional church did not tell you what the real deal was. Jesus was not about your sins, but he was about your spirit being and understanding that it was all powerful and it was all living, and the spirit of God don't die. It just transcended to a new form. So hopefully you take that full understanding from the resurrection. So today is a special day. If you have full understanding of your resurrection, understanding the power to resurrect. I mean, matter of fact, some of us have a resurrection, not maybe, but found in Jesus. Almost every day, some people come into a new understanding, a new way, a new consciousness about something. Okay? So the resurrection is just a process that Jesus came to teach you, that death is just an illusion. That is the key, beloved one. So start living your life without fear of death. Now, this thing called death, because there ain't no death anyway, it's just a transformation. So once you come to that point and understand what that really is about, then you will begin to have no more fear. Do you know what it is to live life without fear? To have life not knowing that you have to be concerned about what's going to happen in the future based on something, on some false teaching, and which many of us running around here believing and thinking based on what was not taught to us, that we only got half truth, and then we suffer because we got half truth. But that's the real deal. So, yes, you should give gratitude and thanks to beloved Jesus every day for what he did and how he came. And beloved Jesus is still around. Beloved Jesus has not gone anywhere. He's operating and a spiritual obtaining, and he can still respond to you, still respond to your request. He is part of the ascended masters, and he is there to be able to assist you and help you to open up. And whenever you have need of help, you can still call upon the cosmic Christ as he is known now. Sweet Jesus. You know, he's really a blessed being, and we need to do so. Even my beloved brothers and sisters who are not followers of Christianity or whatever, does not mean that you cannot tune into the Christ consciousness and understand that Jesus transcends all those labels and titles, and he is the cosmic Christ, and he is there for you and for I whenever we need his assistance. All we have to do is tap in and request that he open the door and come assist us in whatever we need to do. It has nothing to do with you being a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, or whatever. The cosmic Christ is there at that level now where he assists all. And matter of fact, always have, because he never put himself in the box of being a Christian or being a this, or being what. He actually accepts being the scene. That was what his family was raised on. And I would believe that he even transcends that thought as well, because I know at this point he is operating at that higher level that he's able to assist each one of us. So, gratefully, thankfully, we know that the cosmic Christ is there to assist us and help us in our way. Okay, beloved ones, so we're going to close with a prayer today, and hopefully you've been able to gain something from this message and be able to take it and utilize it for your highest good. You know, and that's the reason that I do these messages and do this teaching, because I want you to take from this to be able to enhance and change the quality of your life, you see, beloved ones. And that is why I ask God to assist me, to help me. And before I do any of these shows, I always say, God, all of you, God, all of you, and none of me, because I want this message to be pure as it possibly can be. I don't want my ego to get involved in it. I want to be able to bring you the true message from the higher being that allow me to be able to open my mouth and speak. For it is not I, it is the God in me that do the work. So, beloved ones, let's close with a prayer on this powerful day. Father, Mother God, we give thanks and we give appreciation for the beloved Jesus the Christ, that one who came to teach and came to assist us in understanding of who and whom we are. We say thank you, beloved Jesus, for showing up and teaching us. We thank you for being our big brothers. We thank you for all that you are allowed to be. And we thank you for still being there for us and being there to help us and to show us and teach us and keep us in your and from harm's way. We come with open hearts, knowing that you are the source. And we come on this resurrection day, knowing that through that your resurrection, we have a true understanding of who and whom we are. Spiritual beings having a human experience. That's who we are. And we thank you, God, for opening our eyes that we can now see our true power and true understanding of who we really are and how we are to move and operate, knowing who we are. Beloved God, beloved energy, we pray this day that you will continue to keep us on the path of spiritual awakening, that each day that we are come into a new understanding of who and whom we are, and we begin to operate in that level, knowing that you are the source of all there is. So we say thank you, God, for another message, another son, and thank you, God, for coming through so powerful this day to bring us the message that we need to hear and need to be a part of. We are so grateful, God. We are so, so grateful. So we say thank you, thank you, thank you for this day. And I am so grateful for each one of you, beloved ones, showing up today, and for each one of you taking time out of your day to be with here. If you have availability tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m., we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about faith in a way that maybe you not have not understood it before. We're going to talk about how to really demonstrate and utilize faith in our lives to get what we need to do and have a fuller understanding of faith. You see, beloved one, each one of us was born with faith. It's not something that we developed. We lost faith as we grew older, but we was born with faith on all levels to accomplish all we need to do. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. So join me tomorrow morning. We can talk about faith, and so we can be uplifted a little bit more and allow God to bring us another message. So have a wonderful and marvelous and beautiful, exciting day, beloved one. Love you each, and be well.